Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning if you would, and you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. I'm thankful to the Lord that every service is a little bit different. The Lord knows what you have need of. He knows who's here this morning. And I just thank the Lord that he's ministering to your needs. If I could get the ushers to come at this time, we're going to receive the Sunday morning tithe and offering. Hallelujah. God has done some wonderful things in this house today. My goodness gracious. So good to serve a risen Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Bubba Jeff Coates, would you stand and bless this offering for me, please, sir? I wanted to take just a moment this morning to kind of remind you the last 2 weeks of this month are extremely busy. So I wanted to take just a moment and remind you of some things that are in your bulletin. Number one is we have Sunday school that goes around here from 9:45 to 10:45. We have classes for all age groups, and we just want you to remember that and take advantage of the small group sessions that where you can go and study the Word of God in a small group. Ours happen to be from 9:45 to 10:45 on Sunday morning. And so if you can make that, please make Sunday school a part of your week. We got May 3rd and 4th. We have Project Princess that's going on, the girls' overnight retreat. It'll be here at Oak Grove. It's for ages grades 3 through 5. And if you're volunteering, please see the sign-up sheet in the foyer to order your staff shirt. So remember those things. April 22nd, now that's a week from tomorrow, we have an event that's going to be at First Assembly in Silsby, and we call it Pack the House. First Assembly Silsby seats about 600, and we want to try to pack the house that night for missions. So I would ask you, if you could, to make April the 22nd a day where you can join us in Silsby, Texas, at First Assembly in Silsby, and we're going to have a Pack the House event. So we've invited all the, of course, everybody that's in Neches Valley to come, and we just want to try to have a service where we all together in one place. Our Royal Rangers are taking their annual trip to Beaver Bend State Park in Oklahoma. I'm sorry, Mom, I didn't mean to mess up a city in your sacred state of Oklahoma. In Broken Bow, Oklahoma, June the 21st to the 24th, the details are there. The $25 deposit is due next month, so be sure and keep your eye on that. If you want to be part of the missions VBS team, this year we're going to be going to Uvalde. It's out west of San Antonio, about an hour, and so we're going to be heading there this year. The dates are July 19th through the 25th. I think that's right. July the 9th. Yeah, it is. 19th through the 25th. That's a Friday through a Thursday. And if you wanted to go and be a part of an outreach evangelism team that's going to be doing missions VBS, we're working with a church over there in Uvalde. And we may be working with another church too. So we may be doing two VBSs. But anyway, we'll talk about that next Sunday morning. Look at your calendars. And if you want to be a part of this, then next Sunday morning, immediately after church on Sunday morning, 4:21, we're going to have a quick meeting and just talk about the details and the sign-up sheet and how much it's going to cost and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to have a good time in Uvalde. If you've never been out to the Texas Hill Country, it's beautiful out there. It's well worth the trip, and we're going to have a good time with Pastor James and his church out there. Neches Valley Men Retreat is April the 26th and 27th. If you'd like for you to plan on going to that, there's a sign-up sheet with everything else. There's a sign-up sheet. And so be sure and put your name on there. The cost of the event is $65. And there's a thing with Young at Heart here. And our own VBS will be June the 10th through the 13th. And Leslie, do what? You can't change it. It's in the bulletin. You don't want to tell me? Oh, Leslie says it's the 9th through the 13th, and it's her game, so she should know. There's a VBS shirt form in the foyer. Money is due May the 20th. So there you go, that. Scuba VBS decoration. Scuba? Oh, cool. We're gonna do this one in the baptistry. That'll be fun. Collecting empty toilet paper rolls. That's so you can breathe while you're scubing. paper towel rolls. Water bottles for some of our scenery. See Militia McGallion for information on that. There's other things in here, but the last thing I'm going to tell you about is we'll be having a garage sale under our new pavilion to help Candace Johnson raise money for her missionary associate funds for Ireland. We're trying to get her all supported so we can get her out of here. So we're having a big garage sale for her. Let me finish reading it here. The requirements, so if you want to come and set up and have your own booth out there, then you can, and there's some requirements there. So that's all going on there. Nature's Valley Women has an event. Camp Cake Auction's going up. We had a great time last night at the dinner and a movie. Good time last night. Great brisket, great chicken, really good stuff. I had a great time. Hope you had a good time. I think somebody told me we raised $1,600 last night for camp, about give or take. Okay, so that's for our kids to go to camp. So that's good. Let me get my Bible, and I'll see what I can find in there to preach on this morning. And I said that off microphone, so nobody knows I said it. He said it jokingly. He wasn't serious. If you knew my dad joked about everything. He had a saying about everything, and he had a nickname for everybody. So if you want to know where yours is, ask my mom, because I didn't know them all. I'm going to be reading this morning from Psalms 150, the 150th Psalm. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's Word as we give honor to it this morning. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the... Hallelujah. Psalms 150. It's the last one. It's page 608. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psalter and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. What? Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon loud cymbals. What? We're supposed to be loud in here? Woo! Dustin? Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Say this last piece with me. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord God, for Your word. Thank You for Your service, Lord God, that You've given this morning, Father. God, may I accent it today, Father, with the preaching of the word to confirm the things that You have done. May Your glory fill our hearts, our minds, and our souls, God. And may we walk out of here, Lord God, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There is no set form of worship in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, very rigid. In the Old Testament, you had certain trespass offerings. You had certain things that you did.
You had certain pieces of the meat that you offered. You had certain pieces of the meat that you didn't offer. The hide had to be burned outside, the dung, all the entrails, everything. It was very cookie cutter. Everything was very precise. As a matter of fact, whenever Aaron went to begin to do sacrifices on the Day of Atonement, they offered a bullock for him, but they also offered a ram. And the reason they offered the ram was in case he got something wrong. The bullock was for his sins. The ram was so in case he got something wrong. He was likewise covered because it was very precise. It was very ordained. It was very, very much in a cookie cutter, step-by-step method, and that's how they worshiped God in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. But in Acts chapter 2, the world changed. In Acts chapter 2, because man became the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, in Acts chapter 2, they were in an upper room and they heard a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind and cloven tongues of fire set upon them, and they began to speak with tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, and now we're no longer under the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer. No longer do we consider those things to try to cover our sins. Now we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we walk and talk with Him. Now we're a part of the family of God. And now we can be inhabited by the power of the Holy Spirit that can come upon us with glory and power and anointing like the Old Testament prophets never experienced. Hallelujah. The world changed at Acts chapter 2. Now I don't have to know about God. I can know God. Now I don't have to simply walk softly in front of Him. I can have Him fill my very soul and spirit. Now I can be a part of what God's doing, not simply experiencing God from the outside, but I can have a river of living water springing up from my innermost being that causes me to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm telling you this morning that the greatest thing about being in the era in which we live is that there is no limit to the power of God that we can experience. There is no depth that He can't go to. There is no height that He can't reach. There is no place in a situation that He can't heal. The healing waters of the power of God is flowing to you today. And I'm telling you today that you can experience God in whatever measure, whatever manner, whatever volume you want. It only depends on how much you can rejoice and praise Him, how much you can lean upon Him, how much you can know that it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the first place that the psalmist tells us to start is to raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah. He says, praise ye the Lord. If you were to have the Hebrew version of that psalm, it would start with hallelujah. And it's raising a hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, when you're in the depths of despair, if you can raise a hallelujah. When you don't know which direction to go, if you can raise a hallelujah. When your world is turning out black on both ends, if you can raise a hallelujah. Whenever everything around you is falling apart, if you can raise a hallelujah. When your marriage is in trouble, if you can raise a hallelujah. When your kids look like they're walking away from God, if you can raise a hallelujah. When your situation is as bad as it can be, if you can figure out a way to raise a hallelujah, then I'm telling you, all the powers of darkness begin to flee when that hallelujah starts coming, because it's the power of God. Have you ever watched an old Western and they got those wagons all circled around there and those Indians, they're riding on the outside, and those guys, those cowboys, they're shooting from underneath the wagon and there's arrows flying and it looks like doomsday. It looks like it's all over. They're surrounded. They're running out of ammo. The people are wounded. The Indians just keep coming and keep coming. And if you're Indian this morning, I apologize. That's just the way the movies go. But they got them surrounded. They got them covered. It's looking bad. But all of a sudden, off in the distance, what do they hear? I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I hear the sound of my rescue coming to pass. I hear the sound of the glory of the Lord filling the house. You know, you don't have to wait for the glory to get here. You can start rejoicing when you hear the sound. Hallelujah. Oh, when those guys begin to hear that Calvary coming, they know help's on the way. When the Indians start hearing the Calvary coming, they know help's on the way. And the Indians scatter and everybody shouts, even when the Calvary hadn't showed up. Why? Because they heard the sound. They heard the sound of the abundance of rain. They heard the sound of the rescue. Oh, I'm telling you today, sometimes all you got to do is hear the sound of your voice lifting up a hallelujah and devils flee. All you got to hear is the sound and the situation changes. Why? Because the sound. Whew. That sound builds confidence. That sound builds faith. That sound builds anointing. That sound makes all the difference in the world. You know, we used to ride the bus. My daughter was in the band at Silsby. We used to ride the bus, and we took care of our little section of bus kids there, like I think it was about 40 kids on that bus, and we were supposed to keep them quiet while the bus driver drove. Bo can probably appreciate that. But that was our job. So we fed them and brought them Cokes. That way they stayed quiet because they were eating. But that's what we did. But anyway, we got there. And Silsby that particular year, my daughter's senior year, they went to quarterfinals. They were playing over at the Astrodome. And we got over there, and that place was buzzing. I mean, there was people everywhere. You know, there's 10,000 people there trying to get into that back in those days, back in the dome, believe it or not, played in the Astrodome. But they were trying to get in there. And man, that Silsby, that bus, those kids started rolling off that bus. And before that football team came in, those band kids got over there, and I don't know. I'm just going to tell you what I know, and I know that Silsby back in the day had one of the finest drum lines I've ever heard in my life. Those boys and girls, they could beat those drums, and they got those boom, 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 boom. The guy on those quads was going, you know. And they had those drums going, and the flag team was back there, and they were waving those flags. Those drums were going, and those flags are waving. And I'm telling you, I walked in that place, and the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I said, man, Lord, we're going to kill them today. We're going to take them. We're fixing to win this one. We're going to take them. Boy, LaPorte, they're going to go home sad today. They didn't, but at the moment they were. Why was it? Because I heard the sound of the drum line. I heard the sound of the band playing. The Bible says that the church is as mighty as an army with banners. With banners. God didn't call me to be quiet, praise God. He didn't call me to be subdued. He didn't call me to sit in my spot till he called my name. He called me to be as mighty as an army with banners, so that when the enemy hears me coming, when the enemy sees the banner of the cross of Jesus Christ waving above me, oh, he knows it's time to flee. He knows his day is done. He knows his trial is completed. He knows there's nothing else he can do, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And whenever I speak in the name of Jesus, and devils have to flee. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But it starts with us praising him in his sanctuary, does it not? Doesn't it say praise him in his sanctuary? Praise him in the firmament of his power? Praise him in the sanctuary. When we come in this house, God brought us in this house to... People tell me, they say, you know, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. And I bite my tongue because I don't want to be ugly. But I want to say, you got a scripture for that? I don't think you can find one. Now, I know there is a scripture that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and even more so as you see the day of the rapture approaching. I know there's a scripture that says that, but I don't know a scripture in there that says Paul decided he didn't need to go to church because he was already sanctified. I didn't find that one in there. I find Paul in church. I find Thomas in church. I find even Jesus in church. I find them all in church. Why do they go to church? Why do they gather together? They gather together because as we begin rejoicing as a family, when somebody comes down here for prayer and everybody gathers around them and they start getting their answer and God starts moving in their life, I'm telling you what, this morning I about went off into orbit watching Bobby get blessed and filled over here. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Because I know her story and I know the price that she paid to get here. My God, what a beautiful thing. And I'm going to rejoice with her and I'm going to shout with her. And because I'm kind of an emotional guy, I'm not going to kill my emotions just because I'm in four walls of a sanctuary. I'm going to let my emotions worship God too. I'm going to let the power of God afflict every part of me. I'm going to be who I am. You may be quiet, and that's fine. You be quiet. Some of you may weep. That's fine. Weep. But some of us, surely one or two of us can shout. There's no set method of how you worship God. Just worship Him. If you worship Him with an instrument, if you worship Him on a praise team, if you worship Him with your hands raised, if you worship Him with... It's not the method that you worship Him. It's that it comes from the heart. Hallelujah. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Hallelujah. And it starts in the firmament, in the sanctuary, in the place where God is. Worshiping God and praising God and lifting one another up and praying for one another and being filled with the Holy Spirit and being healed and being anointed and being delivered. God gave 9 gifts of the Spirit that should be working within the church. Wisdom, knowledge, faith. Oh, I shouldn't have started that. Let's see. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretations, prophecies that should be active within the church. He didn't call us here to, this isn't a moment for you to sit and listen to me be an orator. This is a moment for us to worship God together, to praise God together, to enjoy the anointing of the God together, to leave out of here saying, praise God, it was good to be in this house today. Praise God, did you? I think I told you this, but whenever Jesus resurrected on the third day, and whenever... It was 2 guys that were going to a town called Emmaus, and Emmaus is about 6 miles from Jerusalem, give or take a little bit. You know, on that little scale in my map, I can't tell if that's 5.5 or 6 miles, but I think it's 6, but it could be 5.5. Just depends on how many centimeters and millimeters you can see. But anyway, so it's about 5.5 or 6 miles, and they're on their way to Emmaus, and this guy comes up and starts walking with them. He says, why are you so downturned today? And they said, hey, hadn't you heard what happened in Jerusalem? This is in the book of Luke, if you want to read it. Didn't you hear what happened in Jerusalem? And he says, no, what happened? And they said, well, they crucified Jesus, and we thought he was the Messiah, but now he's dead, and some people have said he's alive, and we don't know what's going on. And he starts walking with them, and the Bible says that he begins to unfold all the things that were supposed to happen to Jesus. And when they get to where they're going, like good Christian people, they're going to sit down to break bread, so they ask the guest to bless it. You missed that, didn't you? They ask the guest to bless it. And Jesus blessed it and broke the bread, and when he broke it, he disappeared. And the 2 guys looked at each other, and one of them said, I think that was the Lord. And the other one said, I hope it was. And they said, let's run back and tell the disciples that we saw Jesus. And they ran 5.5 miles back to Jerusalem. And on the way there, they said something that's so important. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while he spake? Is not your heart burning this morning for the power and the glory? Didn't I hear the Lord say something this morning about hearts burning and spirits on fire and the glory of the Lord filling our hearts? Then in the sanctuary of God, we should come here and exalt the Lord and praise the Lord and worship the Lord and glorify the Lord, because if we come in here ready to do that, then we'll leave out of here doing it, and we'll leave out of here with a mission-minded people, with a people that want to find somebody that needs to know Jesus, with a somebody that's looking to lay their hands on somebody and see them be healed. Why? Because we have spent time in the presence of God. We're not here this morning to recite a liturgy. We're not here this morning to simply check a box. We're not here this morning to say, well, I went to church and I did my weekly thing. I'm here to tell you this morning, I came to church to experience God. I came to church to feel His presence. I came to church to get excited about Jesus Christ. Christ. I came to church this morning to have my victory vessel refilled again, so that tomorrow, whenever we go out into the world, we're not going out in the world as people that's been to church. We've gone out into the world as people that know Jesus. Because the next place I see that the psalmist tells me to worship the Lord is in the firmament of his power. Now, the firmament is everything underneath the atmosphere of the earth. That's the firmament. Everything under the atmosphere of the earth. Now, that's a pretty broad place there. But that's where God wants us to worship him. And if we get what we get inside the sanctuary, then we'll be what he wants us to be in the firmament. Because out there is where the rubber meets the road. Oh, you can shout and dance about in this house, but the question is, what you going to do when you get home today? And the situation hadn't changed. Are you going to go in there with the attitude of, well, nothing changed for me? Or are you going to go into the attitude with, I got a word from the Lord this morning in the sanctuary, and I'm going to believe that that word that worked in the sanctuary also works in the firmament of his power. I'm going to believe that what I got in here works out there. I'm going to believe that I can lay hands on the sick in here and they can be healed, but I can also lay hands on the sick out there and they can be healed. It doesn't matter where you're at, but you get the power of God in the sanctuary so you can spread it in the firmament of his power. God wants us to be just as excited about Jesus when we go out into the world tomorrow to work or to shop or to go on vacation or whatever. God wants us to be just as excited about that out there as we are in here. David, I talked to our Sunday school class about this morning. Am I teaching your Sunday school lesson? Did you talk about this morning? About praising the Lord and victory in Jesus? I thought you did. I listened to him introduce the lesson, so I'm not, that wasn't discernment. That was just being nosy. David decided he wanted to move the ark from the house of Obed-Edom to Jerusalem. Actually, it wasn't at Obed-Edom's house then. It was actually in another place. And so he went over there to get it. Now, when he went over there, he brought priests, high priests, musicians, singers. He brought worshipers. And whenever you get in the book of 2 Samuel, you'll find, if you start totaling up those numbers, you'll find out that David brought an entourage of about 40,000 people to bring the ark back. Now, I know he did it wrong, and he put it on a cart, and Uzzah touched it and died, and then it ended up at the house of Obed-Edom. I know that. But the second time he went to get it, he took the same entourage, as far as I can tell. They don't give a number for the second one, but I figure if he took that many on the first one, he probably took that many on the second one. And he got out there, and they put that ark on top of the priest's shoulders. Then they walked 7 paces. Then they sacrificed a bullock unto the Lord. And whenever they sacrificed that bullock and they had that ark in the right spot, the glory of God started hitting that crew. And next thing you know, you got priests shouting, you got musicians playing, you got choirs singing, and out in front of it all, you got a king named David who's dancing and shouting and running around so much that his linen ephod opens up. And he's throwing dirt in the air, and he's dancing like a whirling derby, and he's acting crazy. And matter of fact, he's acting so crazy, when he gets back to Jerusalem, his wife named Michal said, well, wasn't the king of Israel quite a spectacle today, out there dancing and showing his underwear in front of all the women? And you know what David told her? He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. You're right, I'll apologize tomorrow. That's not what he said. He said this. He says, it was under the Lord, and the next time I do it, I'll be worse. What? You'll be worse. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost hits you, sometimes you just got to dance. When the Holy Ghost comes into the situation, sometimes you just got to shout. When the Holy Ghost comes into your home and God's answered your prayer and you're in there with your arms loaded up with dishwater, sometimes that floor needs to get a little wet. As you swing that dishwater around your head saying, praise God, have your own Jericho march. Have your own moment of shouting. Have your own right there in the house. Make your kids think you're nuts. My dad used to work nights once in a while. And if it was a Saturday night, then I knew, as a teenager, I knew that if it was Saturday night, about 7 or 8 o'clock, my mom was going to wander back in the back part of the house. I knew that was going to happen. And I knew what was going to happen next, because my mom is a crier and a wailer. And I knew what was going to happen next. It wasn't going to be very long till I was going to start hearing from the back part of that house a lot of wailing and a lot of shouting and a lot of crying. What was she doing? She was praying for the Sunday morning service. She was praising God in the firmament of His power right there in His house. And two teenage boys was in there listening to Mama pray like that. And she raised a son that's just as loud as her. Sorry about that. That's why God gave me a nice quiet wife. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying you can make it through anything in life if you can learn to praise your way through it. There is no temptation that has taken you except such as common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. How is God faithful? Because the Bible says He won't put anything upon me that I can't stand, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. What is the way of escape? Is it a magic door that shows up? Is it something that's spooky and weird and something that's magical and mystical, like Mickey Mouse Land? Is it a magic castle that comes down and sets itself up on me so that I can endure it? Is he turned me into Spock so that I can just beam me up and get out of it? No, He makes a way of escape. What is the way of escape? It's praise. It's praise. It's glorifying God. It's standing your ground and saying, devil, that's far enough. You're not pushing me anymore. In the name of Jesus, I'm in control here. I own the power in this house. I'm working under the authority of the Lord God Almighty. And the Bible says that even the devils tremble when they hear the name of Jesus, because they hear that. Praise your way through it. Praise your way through problems. Praise your way through financial situations. Praise your way through adversity. Praise your way through condemnation. When the devil tells you God will never use you again because you failed Him so bad, He doesn't want anything else to do with you, you begin to say, oh, He loves me. He gave His only begotten Son, and He said, whosoever, whosoever, and I'm part of whosoever, hallelujah, will receive Him, that He's there. He still loves me. He still will use me. He still anoint me. And I'm going to praise my way to that. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I think I'm done. Praise God. I'm telling you. No weapon formed against you will prosper if you learn to praise your way out of it. It may get dark and dreary. It may get hard. I'm not saying you're not going to have trouble, because Jesus said in this world, you're going to have trouble. I'm sure Ava didn't want her house to flood, and we prayed that God would protect it and it wouldn't flood. But guess what? It flooded. But guess what else? God's going to make a way of protection. God's going to make a way. She's going to find that that house comes back together easier and better and more prosperous than it ever has before. Why? Because this morning she came down and praised her way through it. This morning she walks out of here different than she came in here. The problem's the same, but she's heard from home. And now that she's heard at home, she knows that God is for her and not against her. And it's the same way with you. Praise Him in the sanctuary, and then praise Him in the firmament of His power. Why don't we just give God a praise today at the end of this service? Hallelujah. God, we praise You, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Praise God for your power. Praise God for your excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Mike, could I get you to come back for just a moment? I'm going to do one thing real quick. If you need to go, then I realize it's 12:40. If you need to go, you go ahead and go. And if nobody responds to this, that's fine. There's no pressure on you. But I just hear the Lord in my spirit saying, today is the day that we bring the prodigals back home. Today is the day that God is in this house. If you have a son or a daughter that's not serving the Lord and you want God to rattle their cage today, to go in there and just aggravate the ever-loving snot out of them, to where they keep hearing mama's prayers or daddy's prayers. They keep hearing the sermons they preach. They start hearing that stuff in their head, and they can't smoke enough dope and they can't drink enough beer in order to make it go away, because it just keeps playing and playing and playing and playing. That's the kind of thing I see in my spirit today that God wants to do. And so we're going to spend just a moment here and have this last final thing. And if that's you this morning, if you say, I have a child that I need God to wake them up today, then I want you to come down and come down expecting a miracle, because I'm telling you, today is the day of miracles. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wow. Praise God. Man, we're going to have some testimonies and a baptismal service. Like, we're going to have a baptismal service in May, by the way, I think. Right now, we're looking to having a baptismal service in May. We're going to have it down at Nature's River. We're going to go into the river, and we're going to baptize, and I'm just looking to baptize every one of these. Every one of these that's coming home. I need some of you that believe God to come down here and get with these this morning. Just lay your hand on them. We're going to go down the aisle here, and we're going to anoint them, and we're going to see God rattle some cages today and move some stuff today in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe me?
Amen.
Amen. Give God some praise in this house. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 You just begin to tell God what's on your mind. You just begin to tell God, save my children. Save my son. Save my daughter. Rattle their cage today, God.
darkness runs for cover. When you know no one's turned away, 'cause where you are, fear turns into praises. Justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. When you move, the outcast finds a family. When you move, the orphan. We bow down at your throne. Hallelujah. So come, move, let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. So come, move, let justice roll on. Worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. King of all generations, let every tongue and nation surrender all to you alone. King of all generations, let every tongue and nation surrender all to you alone. Sing it again, amen. King of all generations, let every tongue and nation surrender. Justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. Sing it again. So come, move, let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. So come, move, let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. Hallelujah. Again. So come and move, let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into
here tonight at 6 o'clock. If you can make it back, if you want a little more of this, come back tonight. We'll see what the Lord has in store. But instead of me dismissing you this morning, I'd like to just dismiss this service with you clapping your hands and giving the Lord a shout of praise. Would you do that?
Thank you, Peter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. We'll see you back tonight at 6. God bless you.